Good morning. We're going to start our worship service now. If you'll turn to, in your red back hymnal, 181, and stand with me, we're going to sing Blessed Assurance. Turn to 305, you may be seated.
Thank you. Thank you, Brother Trey, for leading for us today. Forget his name, Isaac. Thank you for playing for us today. We are so thankful that we have the privilege of being in the house of the Lord this morning. I thought with spring break, or fall break, I shouldn't get my seasons right. Fall break starting today. I thought our crowd would be down more, but we have a good crowd. And we're thankful for each and every one being here today. We're glad to have anyone that's visiting with us today. And I think I see some new faces today. And we appreciate each and every one that has come out today in our service. And we just hope and pray that the Lord will bless us all today in this service. We need a good spiritual blessing, don't we? I've been privileged this week to be able to enjoy the blessings of God and to see the Spirit moving, and that's truly a wonderful thing in my heart, and I hope you have had that privilege also this week. And just to be able to do that, I look forward to doing that again this week as the week goes on, just being able to see God's power moving. And that would be a wonderful, wonderful thing today. I know there are several revivals that are coming up this week and in the coming weeks, and we need to be prayerful, praying that God will still continue to save souls. And we mentioned it this morning in our Sunday school about praying for the lost and here around here in our church. And so let's keep them on our hearts today. Now, before we go to the Lord in prayer this morning, we always have a time for our young kids. And we asked Brother Sam to always have a little bit of a children's church for them this morning. So, Brother Sam, we'll turn it over to you for just a moment here.
Let's go. Right here. How's everybody doing? What I need y'all to do is kindly sit. Let's all see if we can sit right here. Let's gather up.
Scoot in.
Yeah, scoot together. You're not going to bite each other. Yeah, you know, so you can sit right there. There's Miss Allison. Hello. Hello, Ezra. How are you doing, buddy? How are you doing? Hey, Stevie. Everybody good? Everybody good? You're looking nice, Ben. You got the memo, didn't you? All right. How's everybody doing? Fall break? Somebody going on vacation this week? Anybody? Yeah, hands. Where are you going? Orlando. You're going to Orlando? Beach. That's close to Orlando. Yes, sir. Beach. Everybody's going to the beach. Yes? Can I go with you? All right. All right. How are y'all doing? Okay. All right. I won't keep you long. I know your schedule. I know you got to get ready to go on vacation. Y'all remember a couple weeks ago we talked about how that somebody can make the math equation 2 plus 2 equals 4 look and sound different? Remember that? You remember, don't you? All right. It kind of talks about, again, and you've probably seen us do this before, but I need to emphasize. I want to say this again. I want to emphasize about the truth. Everybody say the truth. The truth. Paul said to a fellow named Timothy, he said, study. Do we like to study? No, we don't. But we should study. Okay, and especially important things. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that be not ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. In other words, what he wants you to do, what he wants us to do, look at me, is to know this. Mm-hmm. And what it says and what it means. Because there's a lot of people out there that are spreading counterfeit gospel. By counterfeit, I mean false. That is wrong teaching. And we need to be able to study it. And a lot of you are studying back in the back, your Sunday school, and I want you to know to learn this, right? So that someday, if somebody has something counterfeit, you know what it looks like. And to that end, we've all seen some of this right here. What is this? Is it real? No, yes, is it? Are there ways to tell it's real? Yeah, there is. And what is it? What's the word? What's it got in it? Say it. watermark, right? Now, here's why I wanted y'all to sit here. Everybody come here and look with me. You ready? Can y'all see that number 5 right there? You see it? It's called a watermark. And you barely see them, but there's 3 5s over here. That you know that it's real. And they'll know the truth. He said to rightly divide the word of truth means to divide truth from fiction. You need to know what to look for to rightly divide the word of truth. Because all of you, I trust all of you will be married someday. And there'll be somebody standing here in my place from counterfeit. Because you got to know the difference between counterfeit money and real money. More importantly, the Word of God is more important than this money. It's more important than this money. So you need to know the difference. All right, stand up and say it with me. Everybody got your loud talking shoes on? Yeah. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Very good.
Thank you, Brother Sam. Appreciate your time with the kids. And they learn in these things. And I'm satisfied that parents hear what they pick up in even in this time and in the Sunday school time. And I've heard parents say it, we've been amazed too, because we think that our children are small and maybe they're playing in the seat beside us, but they repeat what they heard in church so many times. And our children pick up things more so than we think for. And I'm thankful that our children are in our congregation today. I'm thankful that they have the ability to stay in with us and to learn about God, because they hear about God and His salvation and His Son, Jesus Christ. And we are thankful today for everyone being here today. As you see, today is a special day for our church. It is a day in which we observe the Lord's Supper, as we call it, and we'll be doing that a little bit later on in our service today. And as we always say, we do this service a little bit different. Usually we close out our service with a prayer. But we'll do as the Scripture said that Jesus did. He said they sung a hymn and they went out. And that'll be our dismissal after our Lord's Supper service this day. So keep that in mind later on. I will make a couple of quick announcements if I can. The food box, I guess is what we're calling it, is up out here. We're going to put non-perishable items for the community to come and to partake of that. Maybe community members may put stuff in, they can take out. But the idea is we provide food for people. So if you have some things that are non-perishable that you'd like to add to that, bring it to the church. If there's room in the box, go ahead and put it in there. But if there's not, just bring it into one of the offices and it'll be put in as needed. And so we want the church to keep that in mind and the offerings that needs to be made. Now remember, it's non-perishable things that will not spoil out in the heat and cold. So keep that in mind. Remember our services tonight at 5 o'clock. We have a visiting preacher tonight, Brother Spencer Anderson, that will be here. A lot of people are vacationing, so everybody that can, please come out tonight. That's at 5 o'clock. He'll be preaching for us tonight, and so keep that in mind. Our service is Wednesday night. We want to remember them. Bible study at 6:30. And then, of course, we'll be back here again next Sunday at our regular time. But we want to keep these things on our hearts and in our minds so that we can be thinking about God in His service. So keep that these things in your heart and mind is what we would ask you to do. With that being said, we want to move right along with our service today. We want to go to the Lord in prayer. Does anybody have a prayer request on your heart this evening, this morning? Remember this family. Somebody else. I was asked to mention Sister Barbara Higdon, that's been coming to our church. She usually sits right around here. The young nephew that she was asking prayer for last week took a turn for the worse, and she had to carry her sister up to be with her son. And that was up in the northern part of Indiana. Sister Barbara is on her way home, according to what she said. But she asked the church's prayers. So do remember them in your prayers. As the family is dealing with this, and Sister Barbara is driving back also. So do remember them. Somebody else? We want to go to the Lord in prayer at this time, and we ask that each and every one of you follow the Lord today. This service is special. It should be special to each and every person that is saved by the grace of God, to each and every church member. It should be especially special to you today. Now, the Bible says to examine yourself before you take it. And I think it's a good time for us to start getting our hearts right to look at what we're observing today. We are observing the body of Christ. We are observing the fruit of the vine, which represents the body of Christ. So as you pray today, pray for yourselves that you'll get your hearts and minds in the place that it needs to be, that you'll take this worthy of God. Take it the way God would want you to. We want to go to the Lord in prayer this day. We'll call on one to start our prayer today, but we want everybody to pray in your own way. Brother Fabian, if you would you start our prayer? But everybody, please pray.
Turn with me again in your Redback hymnal to page 368. 368 at the bottom of the page.
Thank you.
Number 81. This will be our last congregational this morning.
Thank you, Brother Trey. Brother Isaac, we appreciate your playing today. And we are thankful for each and every one that has come this way today. We're thankful for each one being here today. I will take a peek at the Bible and see if I know whose it is. We had one out in front here a few weeks ago that stayed out there at the table for several days, and we did not know whose it was. That's a nice little Bible right there. And but we didn't know whose it was. And I thought we had looked to see whose name was in there, and then made mention of it the other day, and somebody opened up to see whose name was in it. There was a name, and handed it off. Sometimes the obvious things you don't look at, don't you? And so, with that being said, let's move right along for our service today. Does anybody have a word of testimony on your heart today? I would like to say I appreciate each and every one being here today. And as I said, this is a special day. Probably one of the more serious days in which that we worship the Lord, in that we view His death, the body that He gave for His death, the blood that He gave for His death. And so it ends up being a somewhat somber time, but really and truly it should be a joyful time also. It should be, because of what He went through, because of all of that, we are saved today. Thank God for that. I'm thankful today to know that I am saved by the grace of God, and that comes through that sacrifice that He made there on the altar. And today's message will have a little bit to do with that. If this message goes the way I think it is, it's going to be a little bit different type of message than we normally preach for this kind of a service, but be prayerful for us today, that we can do as God would have us to. The where we want to take our thought from is coming from Luke, the 15th chapter. And you'll probably say, well, wait a minute, that's not one of the ones about the crucifixion. Luke 15, you're probably scratching your head. I know that chapter. What's in that chapter? That's the chapter in which that I quote quite a bit is about the prodigal son and how that he was in the world and how that this parable of him, the prodigal son, basically he came to himself into a place where he thought that he was bigger enough to take care of himself. We call it being accountable for your sin. And I think this is a perfect example of that. But this young man, he asked for his inheritance. And what he did, he went to his, he took that inheritance and he decided to hit the road. A lot of young people will do that. They'll decide to leave mother and father and they'll go out on their own and they'll think that they've got it made, and if they've got a little bit of money, it'll soon be spent. And that's what he did. He spent everything, is what he did. Well, then famine hit. In a sinner's life, that is the time to be without God. And that is a time that basically, without God, you're hungry. You look for things to fill you up. In this world today, I believe we've got a lot of people that will try to fill their life with the things of the world. They'll try to find joy, we'll say, in drugs or in alcohol. They'll try to find it in relationships, even one-night stands, we'll say, things like that. And they'll think that that will make them happy. Well, the thing we all understand and know is those joys are just for a season. They're not going to last long, is what they're going to do. As a matter of fact, as soon as it's done, that joy is gone and you're in search of something else. And when you get to that place, you that are growing up in churches like this, and you've heard about Jesus, and you've heard about the glory of God, there'll come a time maybe that you will remember the good things of church. You'll remember how Jesus can save. You'll remember how God sent his son into the world. Now, our reading lesson today, and I think in a sense I've almost went by it, in the 17th verse, and it says, "And when he came to himself, he said, how many hired servants of my father have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger?" Now, I've heard this preached upon different times, but I'm going to take it just a little bit different for this service. This is the way the Lord hit me on Friday as far as the way this message would go. And as I looked at it, I thought he remembered something. He remembered that in his father's house, there was servants there that had more than he did. There was servants there that had bread more than he did. He was in a place where that he remembered that he didn't have anything to eat. He would have eat the food for the pigs that he was feeding. But he found himself being in a place where he was hungered. But he remembered how it was at home. And the remembrance of those things, he recalled how it was at home. Now, today I want to, for us to recall something. Now, I'm going to ask you something. Now, I don't want you to say what it is, but I want you to think about what is your earliest memory? What is your earliest memory? For me, it was when I was 3 years old and I woke up from a nap on the couch at my house, and there was my Aunt Catherine, who was ironing in front of me, and I was puzzled why she was there instead of my mother. Now, the story was my daddy had fell out of the tree with a chainsaw and just about cut his hand off, and they had carried him to the hospital. For some reason or another, that stuck with me. Maybe you have a memory like that from when you were 2, 3, 4 years old. Maybe if you're like me, you've probably got several memories like that that you have in your mind. And from time to time, you just pull that little file up and you remember it. And it probably brings a smile to your face. And you just think about that for a little bit, and you just rejoice in that good thing that you remember. It might be just remembering your parents or your grandparents and what they did on a certain occasion. It might even be a church service that you remember. I think the earliest memory that I have of a church service was going to Mount Tabor, and I believe it was a special service because I remember looking out the lower windows of the church, and there was 4 wagons laid lined up out there on the outside, and they were spreading food out. But I remembered the singing in the afternoon of that service. That's one of my early remembrances. I also remember, and for a long time I never got verification of that. My daddy didn't get saved until I was about 6 years old, I guess it was. And I remembered him testifying one time. He stood up on this side next to the Amen corner, and he talked about thanking the Lord for saving his soul. Well, I mentioned that to some. And they said, no, Jack Hackett never testified. And then after Daddy died, Mother mentioned it too. Hey, I got verification. It wasn't a dream. But that was precious to me. It's precious for me to have that memory of him testifying. He never opened his mouth in church. He never said anything. He sat back on this side and he just enjoyed God's work. That's all he ever did. Now, I'm talking about memories. Maybe I've stirred some things in your own minds today. Memories of good things. Maybe some bad things in there. I hope they're not. But the good things that we are talking about today, they are similar to what we find in the scripture. My memories of church are one thing. That memory of basically ironing in the house, that was just a trivial thing. The children of Israel, when they came out of Egypt, they got into a certain place. They'd been eating manna for a little while and they got disgruntled. They got to the place where that they felt like there was nothing there for them. They were tired of that bread. They wanted to be in the promised land. They wanted to be somewhere where there was something that had a different taste. If you were raised up on beans and potatoes, I'm sure there was times you wished for something else. But you look back and you think about it. Boy, them beans and potatoes was good, wasn't it? Now, they looked back to Egypt and they said, we remember the cucumbers, the leeks. We remember the fish that we ate in abundance is what they said about it. And God gave them fish to eat, the quail to eat is what he gave them. It should have surpassed their memory of the things in Egypt, but they still, from time to time, they said to Moses, we need to go back to Egypt. We need to go back to sin. And they remembered what was good, but they didn't remember those things that were bad. What God told them to remember, and you'll find it in the 11th chapter of the book of Exodus, when God said that he was the God that brought them out of Egypt. And what I'd say to us today is we need to remember that God that brought us out of sin today. Amen. Remember him. He is our God, is what the Bible tells us. And keep that in remembrance. It is God that saves souls. He saved my soul. He saved your soul, is what he did. Now, the other thing that I want you to remember, that the Lord, he is a tender and merciful God today. I want you to remember these things today because God has tender mercies, is what the psalmist David said in the 25th chapter of the book of Psalms. But then he said, but don't remember my sins, is what the psalmist said. We all have sins from time to time. We remember what it was like to be a sinner in the eyes of God. And to be that, God does not remember those sins because he is a God that has tender mercies, and he has poured that out upon us that we might have salvation today. But then in Isaiah is another verse I want to bring to your attention. And it's in the 46th chapter is where it's at, in the 8th verse. And what he says in that, he first told the children of Israel to stand up and show yourself as men, is what he told them. Now, you might be saying, why are we to remember to show ourselves as men? We as God's people, we are his representatives. You may be a lady, you may be a child, but you are to stand up as a man of God and show yourself as being that of God. Remember to do that today, because when you go back in the scriptures, one of the things that God told him, and I mentioned it earlier, is to remember where you came from and stand up and tell people about God. But then in the 9th verse, he said, for the things for us to remember is, I am God. We are to remember that God is God, and he gave us a plan of salvation. You see, all of these things have to do with us learning about God, learning about his salvation. They parallel with our own salvation, how God delivered us, how he brought us out, how he reminded us to keep those things in remembrance, but to remember that he was a merciful God, but also to show us to be able to stand. It's important for us as a church today to stand for God. Amen. Now, to get down to some points about our thoughts today. There are things that we as God's people needs to remember on this day. As Paul said, it said that we should take of the bread and of the fruit of the vine in one way, in remembrance of him. Remembering not necessarily what you want to say, God the Father, but God the Son today. For when Jesus gave this institution, this ordinance unto the church, he said a particular phrase. He said to do it in remembrance of me. Today, I want you to remember some things today. If you haven't thought about it today, I want you to think about Jesus. I hope that when you came in to this church house today, that you had Jesus on your mind. You need to. We need to have Jesus on our minds each and every Sunday when we come in through these doors. We need to be thinking about how Jesus saved our souls, how he gave his life, what he went through in order that we might be saved. And I want to just start out with a little bit of recollection today about Jesus today. You know, when I think about Jesus today, You've got to start from the very beginning. And in the beginning, Jesus was with God. The Bible tells us that in John, the first chapter. He said, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. That Word was Jesus Christ Himself, is what that is. But in that beginning, God created all things, and Jesus and the Holy Spirit were there together with God in that time, God the Father, and they created all things. But in that process of all those things that he created a plan whereby you might be saved today. I want you to think about this. This is a merciful God. He made man where that he was pure and clean. Adam was without sin. Eve was without sin. They had nothing about them that was sinful. He had given them a rule, but God made man where he could obey God or choose to disobey God. And Eve and Adam did disobey God, and thus sin entered into the world. Before all of that happened, I know it's a popular thing for people to say that God had to have a second thought. He had to back up and change his plan. But before all of that happened, Jesus was already lined up to be our sacrifice, to take our place in for our sin. Now, there had to be some things that happened in that day for us to remember, and so that he could be the one that could die for our sins. What had to happen? First of all, he had to be part God and part man. He was already God in that way, but he had to be born into this world into a little fleshly body. He had to grow as a babe in this world, not knowing the right hand or the left in that time. He grew up knowing the temptations of life as a child. We talked about that Wednesday night in our Bible study, how that Jesus probably was just like every one of us, seeing the temptations of a child. Though we think of them as minor, and we think, well, they don't hurt that much. But the fact of the matter is, Jesus went through those temptations just like we did, because he was in all points tempted as we are, yet he was without sin. So when after his birth into this world, he came along to a time in which that we start to see him to become a public figure. God had instructed him to go see a man that was committing an ordinance unto him. He was preparing a material. If you think that all of the children of Israel were people that were truly saved, I hate to differ with you. Actually, what we find about them, they had gone off into idolatry. They had taken the things of God and they had made them things that they'd done through service, and they thought that by their actions they might be saved. But without faith, it is impossible to please God. And they had no faith about them. It was all about what they did. So when John the Baptist came into this world, he started preaching to them, "Repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." And when Jesus came to be baptized of him, he saw him and he said, "Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world." And that's what Jesus was there to do. He was there to take your sin away. He was there to take my sin away. That sin of unbelief that had separated all of mankind throughout time. Only those that would look forward unto his death, burial, and resurrection had been saved by the grace of God. And we can prove that by what Jesus said about Abraham. He said, Abraham, he said, he saw me. He saw my day. And he said, he looked for me. And he longed to see it. And he saw it and was blessed in it. And I know I'm not quoting that exactly right, but Abraham saw that. I believe Jacob did and Isaac did. I believe many of the men of the Old Testament saw Jesus through the eyes of faith, and they realized who he was, that he was the Son of God, the Messiah, that would die for them. Now, moving right along here, after his baptism, a little period of time, and Jesus started working this ministry. He started preaching. He started talking to people. He started saving individuals. He started calling individuals out to do his work. And when he started doing that, he started doing miracles. He healed people that were lame. He healed people that were blind. And those others that had so many different problems. He even took some that had died and he rose them from the grave. All of these great signs and wonders, as it said in the book of Acts, in the sermon that Peter preached, were done that they might believe, is what he did. And these things were done for us to believe. Amen. Also, we are reminded of the miracles which he did. But there came a time. There was that night when he met with his church. He met with those 12 in the upper room. And there he said, there's going to be one of you that's going to betray me. And they all said, who is it, Lord? And Judas had already made his circumstance. And you talking about 12 close friends to Jesus. And one of them was going to betray him. And Jesus knew it. And after that, they had taken that day of the communion in that day, Jesus said, let us go out and pray. And there in the Garden of Gethsemane, Jesus took his 11 disciples and they went down into the Garden of Gethsemane. And he took 3 of them a little farther, and then he went a stone's throw away. And we see Jesus in this time as he was talking to God about what was coming up. And I had never really thought about it until the other day as we listened to a message about things. I never thought about the sacrifices being bound in those days. But they had to have been. We know Isaac was. He was bound when Abraham went there. And what Jesus went to the garden to pray was, Lord, if this cup, this action that I've got to do, that this action of me going and suffering on the cross of Calvary and me giving my life there on the cross of Calvary, me giving up my blood and dying there on that cross, Lord, if all of that can just pass from me, if there's another way whereby these people might be saved, let it pass from me. That was really what he was praying there that day. He prayed that 3 times. And he was bound by his promise that he would follow God and do what he had promised that he would do. God could have allowed it. Jesus could have called 12 legions of angels, is what he said, when Judas did betray him. He told the apostles, he said, I can call 12 legions of angels and they would deliver me. But it wasn't to be. So they carried him to the place where he would be judged in Caiaphas' place. And there they condemned him to death. And when they couldn't carry out the sentence, they carried him to Pilate. And I'm shortening this down quite a bit for you today. But I want you to remember the things that happened when he was there in Pilate's hall. They could not find any fault in him. I heard a preacher say it this way, and I think it was true. Satan tried Jesus there with Pilate. Satan was trying to find something that he was worthy of death, but there was nothing that there was about Jesus that he should have to die for me. But yet they cried out, crucify him. When there was a man that and an excuse to deliver them, they said, release the murderer. Give us Jesus and allow him to be crucified. You heard me preach a few years ago on how Barnabas was me. Just like him. Because Barnabas was supposed to go to that tree. Yet Jesus took his place. Every one of us were deserving. Every one of us was deserving of that same condemnation. The penalty of sin, the Bible tells us, is death. And our sins were laid upon him when he went to the cross. But I'm going to ask you, how many of you would have allowed, and remember, Jesus could have called 12,000 angels, 12 legions of angels, I should say, to deliver him at any time. How many of you would allow somebody to hit you in the face? Once? Yeah, maybe. Twice? Some. Most of us, third and fourth time, we're ready to swing back, aren't we? We are ready to fight. How many of us, if somebody spit in our face, would we take that very well? How many of us, if they grabbed us by the arms and tied us to a pole and they took a whip and they tore our bodies with that whip? How many of us, in that weakened condition, when they said, you'll carry your own cross. Now, we see it from time to time. People will do a depiction and they'll take a pine two before and they'll take that and they'll make that cross out and you'll see them walking through town with it. And then they'll have wheels down here on the bottom. Now, first of all, it wasn't a pine two before. It was probably a beam, probably that square anyway, from all the history tone. It didn't have the pole, the vertical part. So he had a beam probably weighing about 120 pounds put on his shoulders. And he picked it up. And he started carrying it to Calvary. When he broke down under that, they made Joseph of Arimathea, no, not Joseph, Simon to come and to carry it. His body was weak. It was tormented. And yet when he got to the cross of Calvary, got to the Calvary's hill, They laid him down on that cross and they nailed his hands to that cross. And then they hung him up on that pole. And as he had told them before, he says, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man, him, be lifted up. And there he hung, probably for about 6 hours. Bleeding, ripping his body, thirsty, everything about him hurting. And as all of this was going on, he said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Mm-hmm. At that point in time, he had all of the sins of the world on him. Amen. I know that in my mind, my sin was bound to have been a load. But when I compare all of the millions of people that he died for, and all of them that he looked back at that point in time, and he looked at them and he knew that the vast majority of them would reject him and they would not take heed of the forgiveness that was given for them, the fact that he was dying for them, yet he still died for them. And finally, when he had finished everything that the law and the prophets had said about him, he said, it's finished. And he gave up the ghost. And there he died that you and I might be saved. Thank God he did. Because without that, I have no salvation today. You have no salvation today. I thank God that he did. You see, in this message today, what I want you to do is remember Jesus. I talked about the things that we remember as far as our salvation is concerned. We remember how he delivered us. We remember how we were beforehand, just desiring the things of the world. But then we were saved, and we saw the tender mercies of God. We saw that he was God, and we enjoyed that. And we still have him to rely on in those very things today. But in that upper room, he just asked a small thing of us. In this, remember me. As we go into this part of the service today, I'll call our deacons up at this time that will serve today. We have a special time here today, and truthfully, I believe this was meant for the church to observe in this day. We will observe the bread, which is unleavened, and what it will depict is the body of Christ that was without sin. If you will remember in the early parts of this today, this message, I talked about he was without sin. And I want you to keep that in mind. You see, that body was truthfully, wrong place, excuse me. That body was truthfully a place in which that they were to come together and serve in that day. That body was given that we might have life. We talked about how that the body itself, how it was spit upon, how it was struck in that day. How that it was nailed to the cross. Most of us today would consider any part of that being more than we could bear. Yet our Savior did bear all of these things for our body. We find in the scriptures and the gospels where it said that Jesus, in that day, he had taken the bread and he had broken it. And then he blessed it. Today, let us pray. I don't know how much I can bless this bread. I can give thanks for it. And what we'll say today in this service is, let us examine our hearts. As we take each piece of bread for ourselves, examine ourselves that we might observe God's body in His Son. Let us pray. Our all-wise and heavenly Father, I thank You, dear God, for the blessing today of being here. Lord, I want to just remember Your Son today. Lord, I think about all of what He went through. And Lord, I don't know what went through those first 30 years. And I know there was bound to have been some hard times in those first 30 years, Lord. We don't have that knowledge, and that's all right. Just what we have, Lord, is enough to see how You came willingly to preach, to show the true way. And dear God, You sent Your Son that I might have salvation. Lord, I see those things today, and I am in awe of His goodness toward me. I'm in awe of Your mercy, dear God, upon us to allow Your Son to suffer in that today. Dear God, I pray, Heavenly Father, that You will just bless each one here today. Oh Lord, I know there's some here that's not saved by Thy grace, and they'll not get to partake of these things, Lord, because it's for the saved to remember. Lord, how can they remember except they be saved? Lord, it's for us to remember, Lord, what He did for us. Lord, I'm thankful, dear God, that You set this in Your church. That, Heavenly Father, that it is a special ordinance for us to do. You commanded us to do this ordinance, Heavenly Father, in Your name, in Your remembrance, dear God. It was meant that, Heavenly Father, that Your church might keep You on our minds. Lord, I pray today as we come into this service and into this time of communion, Lord, may we take the bread. And Lord, may we just join together in with You, Lord, today. And Lord, remembering You. Lord, I thank You for the bread, Lord. Lord, it was prepared by man. And Lord, I thank You for it. That, Lord, that maybe it will bless each one of Your children, Your church members, dear Lord. That, Lord, that they might have a good understanding of what they partake in. Lord, there'll be some here today that will get to observe this for the very first time. And Lord, I remember that it was special to me. It was something that I had longed to do because I had watched it as a child and I had saw it done and I knew it wasn't for me. It was for your church. Lord, I'm thankful, Heavenly Father, for these blessings that you've brought us to remember today. And Lord, help us to keep it on our hearts throughout the day. Amen. In our church, what we do here, there are different churches that do the Lord's Supper in different ways. Many churches, just to say, anybody that wishes to partake, just partake. But we find the Scripture said this ordinance was given to the church. And by it being given to the church itself, it was meant to be taken in the stead of the church. Now, we here at Murfreesboro allow churches of like faith and order to partake of our bread and our fruit of the vine as we do today. We're going to ask you to stand today in this service if you would like to partake of this bread at this time. And we would ask you to put your heart and your mind upon Jesus. Examine yourself as you do this. It doesn't mean that you're sinless, but where you have your heart today. While the brethren pass, all that wish to partake of this that are members of old-fashioned missionary Baptist churches will ask you to stand at this time. Brethren, if you will.
As deacons, our brethren are asked to serve many ways to the church. In this day, they get a privilege of serving the bread and the fruit of the vine. The fruit of the vine is symbolic of the blood that Jesus shed. And I asked you to notice that I said shed. Many people says that it was spilled. If you look up a definition of spilled, that's an accident. Jesus gave His blood. It wasn't an accident that He was there on the cross of Calvary. It wasn't an accident that He was there in the Garden of Gethsemane when they took Him. It was no accident that they whipped Him. All of this was done to fulfill the Scriptures that were brought out that He would shed His blood. There's many ideas as to the way the blood gets to us. According to Revelation, it says we are washed in the blood of the Lamb by the Holy Spirit. And what it says in that day, that Spirit bears witness with our spirit. Today, we ingest the fruit of the vine. There's no saving power in this liquid that you will have here today. What it is a symbol of the blood of Christ. It symbolizes the blood that came down the cross. It symbolizes our salvation today. It said before that Jesus separated the fruit of the vine to His disciples that He blessed it. Again, let us pray. Our all-wise and heavenly Father, as we go into this time, dear Lord, remembering the blood. And Lord, I think of the Scripture where it says, without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. I'm thankful, dear God, that You was willing to give Your Son to shed His blood. That was proof, dear God, of His death. In the book of Hebrews, it talks about how that blood was taken to the true temple in heaven. And it was presented to God there by His high priest, His holy Son. And that blood is there for our salvation, dear God. It was proof that you died on the cross for me, that you died there for all of us. Lord, it wasn't a fake death, as many would have in their minds. You truly died. But you overcame that death when you was buried in the grave, and 3 days later, you came out glorious. Heavenly Father, your body was glorious in that day. It showed the wonder of your God and your workmanship. Dear God, it showed the blessing that you had given to mankind in salvation, dear God. It showed all of this, dear Lord, for our benefit. Dear God, I thank you for your tender mercies today. Oh, Lord, without your mercy upon me, dear God, upon anyone on this earth, none of us are saved. I thank you, dear God, for that. Help us, Lord, to take of this fruit of the vine, Lord, that we may take it, Lord, looking unto thee and looking unto the blood that was shed for us. Thank you, dear God, for all of these things. In thy holy Son's name we do pray. Amen. You that stood before, we'll ask you to stand once again as the brethren will pass before you to serve you once again. Again, let us continue to remember Christ, his body, his blood that he gave for us. And I hope this has been a good day for you to remember this wonderful thing. I happened to glance up and see some of you take for the first time. I hope it's been special to you. Make it special each and every time that you partake of the Lord's Supper. As I said earlier, we usually close with a prayer. But it said in that service, Jesus, he said, let us sing a hymn. And I read not too long ago what psalm they actually sung, and I believe it was Psalms 87. We won't try to recite it today, but let us sing. Sing to the glory of God today in this song. And this song is done, we will be dismissed.